Do those Secret Service men around the president carry guns?
You bet your life they carry guns, and the follow-up car, which never is more than 6 feet behind the presidential car, has complete armaments, including grenade, submachine guns, tear gas, and everything else. This was just one of these unfortunate occurrences. But to get back to your original question, you try to put a president of the United States when he's traveling through towns where the people can't see him. And as I said at the start, he has to be completely fatalistic and fearless about his own personal safety. And he believes, any president believes, that when he goes into an area, that if people turn out and are waiting on the street to see him go by, he's going to be in a position where they can see him. And any amount of argument that you might have with any of the presidents is not going to be successful in that line, Don. It's just the way they feel. And I'm sure President Kennedy felt just exactly the way President Eisenhower felt. And I know that there were many times when we asked the president, President Eisenhower, to use the closed car, not of any particular danger because of bad weather or cold weather or anything. And he said, look, these people came out to see me, and I'm going to see them. So it's just a perfectly natural reaction of a man who is the chief executive of our country, who is elected by the majority of the people of our country, and they're just built that way, or they wouldn't be where they are. They believe this firmly, and there isn't anything that can be done about that part of it.
President Kennedy, assassinated today, Vice President Lyndon Johnson immediately becomes the president. He has been sworn in. President Johnson now flying back from Dallas. Will there be any other changes necessary at the White House as a result of President Johnson taking over?
Well, I would assume that with a new president now, that the members of the cabinet would automatically at least tender their resignation so that he could then make a choice of his own cabinet. Whether there will be any changes in that or not, only time alone will see. In his White House staff, yes, I would assume that there would be changes, at least after a while. A president has to have his own people and people that he is used to working with around him. This was the same, the recent illustration, or comparatively recent illustration, was on the death of President Roosevelt, when President Truman succeeded to the presidency. And many, the whole White House staff volunteered their efforts, and a lot of them stayed on for a period of transition. Then, gradually, Mr. Truman, at that time, brought in to the White House staff, which is really just the personal staff of the president, his own people, people that he had worked with, that he liked, that he could trust. Not that he didn't trust the others, but they were used to working with him. And
they knew his routine
and the way he acts and reacts. And I would think in time that new President Johnson would have a new staff in the White House, or at least partially. But again, I don't think anything like this is going to happen right now. There is a sort of suspended state of shock at the present time. And eventually, I think that there would have to be some changes.
Who now assumes the title of vice president?
Well, there won't be any. And under the Constitution, the line of succession, the second man now is the Speaker of the House. The third man becomes the president pro tem of the Senate. And then the line of succession is the cabinet, in order of seniority, with the Secretary of State as the fourth man, and I believe the Secretary of Defense is the fifth, and so on down through the 10 cabinet officers. Again, unless my memory is faulty, there will not be any vice president as such. You would have to need an election for that, and that office will sort of remain vacant now, with maybe an acting
presiding officer of the Senate.
But I think the next vice president will be elected in 1964 at the general elections.
Thank you, James Hagerty, former news secretary in the White House under the administration of Dwight D. Eisenhower, a vice president of the American Broadcasting Company. To recap the news, this saddened our nation today. In Dallas, Texas, President Kennedy assassinated. A single shot through the right temple, a bullet lodged in the brain, took the life of the 46-year-old chief executive. Shot as he rode in an open car in downtown Dallas while waving and smiling to a crowd estimated at 250,000 people. Vice President Lyndon Johnson, the nation's new president, was in the same cavalcade, a number of cars lengths behind. He was not hurt. Terribly shot, Johnson, who has a record of heart illness, was immediately taken off under heavy guard. He was sworn in aboard the presidential plane as it sat at the Dallas airport. The president lost consciousness, it has been reported, from the hospital. As soon as he was hit, he never regained consciousness. The doctor at the hospital said, "We never had any hope of saving his life," even though 8 or 10 doctors were attending him in a frantic but futile effort to keep Mr. Kennedy alive. Mrs. Kennedy, while traveling with the president in that same car, was not hurt. She is now aboard the presidential plane, flying the body of Mr. Kennedy back to Washington. President Lyndon Johnson is aboard that plane. It is due to land in Washington at Andrews Air Force Base a few minutes after 6 o'clock this evening. Let us take a moment now and listen to a member of the religious community in New York City, Dr. Nathan A. Perelman, rabbi of the Congregation Emmanuel. Dr. Perelman.
We all know now what the biblical poet meant when he spoke of astonishment of heart and darkness at noonday. We're all of us too stunned to comprehend the measure of our loss and that of the whole world. It is of tragic moments such as this that history is made, and the directions of human hopes and human affairs altered. Who fired that terrible shot is not nearly so important as the fact that all of us have for too long a time been tolerating the development of a climate in which bitterness, vituperation, and violence are too often excused in the name of a vague higher freedom. We should all of us examine our souls to find out if by word or deed we have guided the finger which fired the shot that destroyed a great world leader and bereaves and stuns all of mankind.
Thank you, Rabbi Nathan Perelman of the Congregation Emmanuel in New York City. In Washington, the Speaker of the House, John McCormack, has just held a news conference. Now we switch you to Pete Clapper, ABC, Washington.
House Speaker McCormack has just held his first news conference since the president's death. The speaker said he will go to Andrews Air Force Base to meet the plane carrying the remains of the late President Kennedy. Also going to Andrews to meet the body will be House Majority Leader Albert and House Majority Whip Boggs, as well as Mrs. McCormack, the Speaker's wife. At this news conference, Speaker McCormack refused to discuss his new status as the first in line for the presidency after the new President Johnson. Speaker McCormack said he didn't want to think about it. Tears were in the Speaker's eyes. He sniffled and spoke very slowly and quietly, his lips trembling. He reminisced, said that John Kennedy looked ahead, was a man of keen vision. Speaker McCormack then spoke over the telephone to House Minority Leader Halleck. I heard Halleck say, "This is a terrible day for the country." Speaker McCormack replied, "It is indeed." Pete Clapper, ABC, Capitol Hill.
Observations by the Speaker of the House, John McCormack, in Washington. Observations also by the former Speaker of the House, Republican Joe Martin of Massachusetts. For Mr. Martin's comments, we take you to Washington.
I couldn't believe it when the first news came, and I kept hoping that it would not be true. Unfortunately, it is. A nation has lost a a leader at a time when I could ill afford to lose a leader. Not that I mean by that, not only a leader in their domestic affairs, but in our foreign affairs in particular. We've lost a man we sorely needed, and there's but one hope for our country, and that is for all of us to join, regardless of party affiliation, in order to carry the country through this crisis.
Congressman Joe Martin, Republican of Massachusetts, and observations on the assassination of President Kennedy today. On our overseas circuit now, we have our man in Moscow, ABC's Sam Jaffe. Sam, when did word of the president's assassination reach Moscow? A break in our circuit to Moscow. I'll wait just a moment and repeat my question to Sam. We have him on the line right at the moment on our overseas circuit. And I would like to ask Sam Jaffe in Moscow some questions. Once again, Sam, can you hear me, Sam?
Yes, I can.
Sam, what time did Moscow receive the word of the president's assassination?
Well, I'd say roughly, Martin, about an hour ago.
How was it?
About an hour ago. Martin Page, for one thing, Preston and I were sitting in at a dinner party with a Soviet official when the word came on television, on Moscow television. We couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. I'm telling you. It sort of broke up. I still do not believe the president is dead. And, yes?
Unfortunately, Sam, it is true. It has been officially announced. Moscow has got to believe it. It is true.
Well, I'll tell you, we did not believe it. And our friend from the Soviet official did not believe it either. There was dead silence. We were having a dinner party in honor of his grandmother. We just could not believe it. And we rushed to the American Embassy, where there was extreme confusion. Telephones were ringing at the Marine desk. Ambassador Kohler, I must say, was not available for comment, nor was any other official of the American Embassy. Yet, I understand that Martin Page, my friend who was with me at the dinner party from the London Express, will report this, has now, just a few minutes ago, word from Gromyko, the Soviet foreign minister who reported this. We were absolutely shocked. We rushed back to my apartment, where I have a task machine, wire service machine in English, which reported the following. It has been officially announced that the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, has died in hospital after an attempt was made on his life by persons, as believed, from among the extreme right-wing elements, period. Stop. That is from TASS, the Soviet news agency, which added the following. TASS, Moscow radio and television stopped their transmissions about 23 hours local time, that is Moscow time, to announce the mournful news, and I'm reading from the TASS dispatch from New York, about the attempt on the life of the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. The announcement was repeated several times, then funeral marches were played over the radio and television network, period, end of item, end of story. Now, we went back to my office, and several members of the Brazilian embassy came down, and they said that they were shocked at this news. They could not believe it. These were members of the Brazilian embassy. And just a few seconds ago, when we arrived here, we talked to one Russian, and he said, yes, I heard that the president is dead. And he said, I think the world needs him.
Thank you, Sam Jaffe. Thank you, Sam Jaffe in Moscow.
Can you hold?
I have some additional word here in the ABC newsroom in New York. A top Treasury official in Washington says that no Secret Servicemen were injured in the attack on the president today. The Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, under which the Secret Service operates, says a report was received that a Dallas policeman had been killed by the fusillade fired by the assassin. He said, I believe that report is correct. Now, it has been reported from Dallas that a policeman was killed as he tried to take into custody a suspected person accused of the complicity in the assassination attempt at a Dallas movie theater. That policeman was shot by the suspect As he grappled with him, another policeman was able to subdue him and take him to the station house for questioning. A first report had indicated that there was a Secret Service man involved in that killing of the policeman. The Secret Service in Washington says that did not happen. That scene where the policeman in Dallas was killed occurred some distance from where the president was assassinated today. And General John Gerhardt, the commander of North American Defense, has just denied any earlier reports that the command has been placed on an alert. There had been reports to that effect earlier. It now is definitely denied that the Strategic Air Command is not on any other than the normal alert, which does take place at all times. President Kennedy is dead. Our nation is saddened. We have more reports coming up from throughout the world. This is ABC Radio. Let us take a 5-second pause for station identification. May I repeat some of the horrible news that has occurred today? President Kennedy assassinated this afternoon on the streets of Dallas, Texas. A rifle bullet crashed into the president as he rode in his bubble-top limousine, the top down. In a motorcade preparatory to making a luncheon speech at the Dallas Trademark. The attack on the president happened at 1:25 Eastern Standard Time this afternoon. A little over 3 hours ago, the president rushed immediately to Parkland Hospital in Dallas. There, surgeons attempted to try to preserve his life, but apparently from word we've received from the hospital, the doctor said it was obvious they could not save the dying president. Priests were called in to give the last rites to the Roman Catholic Church shortly after the president was carried into the hospital. Of course, you know, Mr. Kennedy was the nation's first Catholic president. And the first word we received on the fate of the president came when the priests came out of the emergency room and said, the president is dead. It was not official. We could not believe it. We didn't want to believe it. But later word confirmed that the official word came from Washington that President John F. Kennedy had died. He died about 35 minutes after the rifle bullets were fired into his body. At 1:00 Eastern Standard Time this afternoon, Mrs. Kennedy, while riding in the same car with the president, was not hurt. Texas Governor John Connally also was shot in the attack on the president. He suffered a bullet wound in the chest. Doctors immediately tried to operate and protect the Texas governor. We have not received any additional word on the Texas governor. Mrs. Connally also was traveling in that car with the president and the Texas governor. Both wives immediately saw to their husbands and tried to comfort them as the Secret Service immediately drove the presidential party to the hospital. Vice President Johnson and Mrs. Johnson were not traveling in the same car, but several cars behind the president's limousine. The vice president was not injured. Shortly after the president was officially pronounced dead, Mr. Johnson and his wife left the hospital, went to the airport, and there aboard the presidential plane standing at the airport, Lyndon Johnson was sworn in as president of the United States, the 37th president, sworn in by a federal judge, Sarah Hughes, a woman judge in Dallas, Texas, who had been appointed by President Kennedy. Seized in Dallas, Lee H. Oswald, identified as chairman of a Fair Play for Cuba committee. He's the prime suspect in the assassination of President Kennedy. Lee H. Oswald, identified as chairman of the Fair Play for Cuba committee. He's the man that was picked up in the Dallas movie theater, and in which one policeman lost his life. Another policeman was able to take him into custody. On the fifth floor of a building overlooking the area where the president was assassinated, Dallas police and U.S. Secret Service men found a foreign rifle, a German Mauser, a 7.65 caliber. Three spent cartridges lay on the floor next to where that rifle was. One bullet still in the chamber. Three bullets tore into the presidential limousine.